night and Bad Moon on the Cliff, and we just got bad moons everywhere. Folks, welcome back to the Rebel Madman radio program here on the 20th day of April in the year of 2024. And here's one other quote I would like to read. Then I would like for all three of you gentlemen to give me your thoughts on this one quote. Now, this was a quote in a letter from Winston Churchill to the very brand new president, Harry Truman, after FDR kicks the bucket down here in Georgia with his mistress. He must have been having some real fun. But anyway, here we are, and here is the quote. The war wasn't only about abolishing fascism, but it was created to conquer sales markets. We could have, if we had intended so, prevented this war from breaking out without ever firing a shot, but we didn't want to. Unquote. All right, Matt, your thoughts, sir.
Yeah, it's accurate. Germany gave them every opportunity not to go to war, and they did declare war on Germany, so.
No, yes, well, they had to wait for Pearl Harbor, which Harry Dexter White engineered, because of his relationship to Stalin. We could do a whole program on that. Sarge, your thoughts on that quote?
Seems like it's just history over and over and over again.
Looks like we're living a feedback loop, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's like Groundhog Day with Bill Murray.
Yes. Hey, great analogy. Great analogy, Sarge. That's exactly true. We if you know history, of course, if you're a dummy and the only thing you care about is ball and cars going fast in a circle, you're never going to know about all of these patterns. And so it's not going to bother you. You're just going to be fat, dumb, and stupid your entire life. But I don't know. DW, your thoughts on that quote?
Yeah, it's exactly the same actual real reason, the truthful reason for the conduct of World War One that had to happen. Germany was not a threat to anybody. For taking their land away or trying to invade them. Germany was a threat to British and French colonialism. The Germans were a more industrious people, a more productive people. They were actually beating the French and the British in commerce and had been for the previous 20 years. And so the buildup for World War One started that the British completely understood, the important movers and shakers understood that in 1895 that the German machine would have to come down, and they spent the next 20 years making sure that war was created, and it was a lot of it was about commerce.
Well, DW, wait a minute. Now, you just pushed me back a few years. I'm going to have to throw another quote at you before you get comfortable. And this comes from Winston Churchill in 1919. And he said, very simply, should Germany ever merchandise again in the next 50 years, we have led this war in vain. Talking about World War One. Correlate that, please.
Well, I think he just did it for us, didn't he?
Exactly.
He does that, and of course, he says that in 1919 when they think that there's a possibility at this stage when maybe we will be able to get the League of Nations together and be able to exercise our economic and complete hegemony over everything. Well. World War One didn't complete the mission, so there was just any number of people at the time that were making similar statements that World War One and the Treaty of Versailles is just a cessation of World War One, and that it will spring back up in 20 years. Well, they were right, weren't they? How did they know that?
Oh, well, now you're going to make me throw another one at you and then get everybody's comments from this one. Now, this one came from Major General J.F.C. Fuller of the British Army. He was also their historian. And listen to what he had to say. Not the political doctrine of Hitler hurled us into this war. The reason was the success of his increase in building a new economy. The roots of our war were envy, greed, and fear, unquote. Matt, your thought?
Yeah, I think it's true. The Germans showed that a people can thrive without Jews controlling everything, and that's not acceptable.
Well, I don't think that's acceptable anywhere on the planet, is it? Your thoughts out there, Cal?
Read that quote from Winston Churchill again, not the last one, but the one before it, where he could have prevented the war. Read that again. Two sentences of it. Read that again.
Well, let me drop back here and give you this one. This one, it was in 1946. Was this the letter to Harry Truman?
Yeah. He's okay. Now at that time, he is Prime Minister of England, right?
Right.
I'm trying to get his official capacity also in mind.
Okay, so Truman knew almost nothing about what was going on in the administration. He knew nothing about the atomic weapons until FDR was dead.
So, the bankers didn't need Truman to be FDR's handler. Had control.
They had all of the Marxist handlers they needed for FDR. So here's what he said when he wrote to Truman right after FDR died. And I quote, "The war wasn't only about abolishing fascism, but it was about conquering the sales markets. We could have, if we had intended to, prevented this war from breaking out without firing one shot, but we didn't want to," unquote.
Yeah. See, here's my question. Who's the we he's talking about?
Well, he's talking.
When he says we couldn't have, is he talking about Great Britain? Or is he talking about some other entity?
He was talking about the same people Robert Morris was talking about.
There we go. That's what I'm trying to do, is tease this out. Who's the we here? I mean, who's the we of we the people of the United States? We the people of the United States. Who's this Morpheus we keep that we? Oh, here, I'm using it. Who's this we? I try not to use that word because it's so possessive. Who's this we everybody keeps mentioning? Who are these infamous we people? Who are they?
I don't know, Sarge. Who are the people?
Good question. Wish I had an answer.
Well, I mean, who are they speaking for?
All the little handlers, the globalists probably, and the people that are just trying to control everybody else.
Well, I'm busy writing a new preamble to the Constitution just for fun. And my first words are not we the people, but we the lawyers.
I'm just wondering if it would be a fair statement to say the we of we the people and the we of those we you just mentioned that Churchill was talking about is the international bankers.
Absolutely.
Same history with the we the people of the United States.
Yes.
They were acting on behalf of the international bankers, basically the City of London at that time.
And they made a Constitution for the people of the United States of America.
Yes, two different entities.
Yes, two totally different entities. Yes. Matt, your thoughts, buddy?
I agree with what you guys are saying. I mean,
let's see if we can get this retired airline pilot to take us to school. Come on, DW.
Well, you guys already took the thunder out of the storm cloud. But the we that is euphemistically always being referred to is the same people that nobody can seem to identify today when they're talking about what the Uniparty agrees on, which is debt. They keep talking about debt, and they say they're in debt to something, but they never identify who they're in debt to, do they? It's those people. Those are the we, the ones that you're in debt to that you cannot name. You know, it would be a fantastically small percentage of the people in this country if you asked them who the U.S. government was in debt to that could actually tell you. That's kind of scary, isn't it? But it's the people that are holding the debt is the we.
Yep.
It always has been. It always will be.
We, the people who own you.
Yeah. And so the first moral virtue. Let me talk about being Judaized here for a moment, because that's an important part of these mythological narratives and propaganda and indoctrinations. This Judaized mentality that the highest virtue, moral, ethical virtue that exists in the land and for generations is that you have to pay your debts, regardless if somebody starves, dies, is deprived, imprisoned, you must pay your debts. Above all else is the highest, number one, highest moral virtue and value, that there can be no forgiveness or of debt. Now, there is this thing called bankruptcy, I understand, but that's a scarlet letter as well. And so this philosophy of you must repay your debt is the one single most powerful force on the planet, and it's based upon the elevating the idea of usury to the highest religious and spiritual and moral value on the planet, and it's been responsible for the deaths of hundreds and hundreds of unimaginable numbers of people based upon this one principle. And this is because the people that hold the debt and everybody supports it. So I really believe until this is reconciled in more people's understanding, this will just perpetuate and continue. That they see debt as a good thing, and it's just a vice and a I don't know. It's far more deadly than any actually any war or any other force on earth. A usury is the most powerful force on earth. So,
well, stated.
And they control it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, guys, let me throw a quote at you now from the Sunday London Correspondent from September the 17th, 1989. So 50 years after, what did the Sunday Correspondent in London have to say? And I quote, "We didn't go to war in 1939 to save Germany from Hitler or the continent from fascism. Just like in 1914, we went to war for the not lesser noble cause that we could not accept a German hegemony over Europe," unquote. Your thoughts on that, Matt?
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. Again, you know, the bankers, the Jews couldn't allow a different system from existing, which is what Germany created, everything from financial to cultural to everything.
Okay, great thoughts. Cal, will you take that back, parallel back to the Civil War, please, sir?
Well, yeah, that's... Yeah, they had to have control over the economy. And they were losing control. You started to explain it, you know, how, you know, the loss of industry or institution known as the slave trade, where they imported slaves from other countries, you know, to where slavery itself was becoming self-sustaining, and they couldn't make money directly on it. This is, you know, throughout history has been about, you know, money and control. It's just that now the international bankers have more money than they could ever need or use, and now it's just all about control of not just here in the United States, but we're talking the whole world, the whole planet. This is empire. This is control. This is empire. And it's being run by the Wheeze, of the those Wheeze out there. The Wheeze are doing it. It's the Wheeze.
Yeah, the Wheeze. Yeah, that's a good one. Hey, what are your thoughts on this, Sarge?
Just like Cal said, it's all about control. They're doing anything they can, undermining every bit of proper lifestyle, I guess is the best way to put it. They're weaseling their way into every little nook and cranny of the life of Americans and really the people of the world, just so that they can exercise their control over everybody. And it's been the same, well, since the Second War for Independence and right up to the present day, World War II included. They're always trying to be the ones, the head gyrasticutus, no matter who's in the room, kind of thing. And it's just sick, is the only thing I can think of. We just need to figure out a way to rout these suckers out, these vipers, as who was it? Old Hickory, I think, said that.
Yep.
Yep.
Andrew Jackson. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Big time to get the vipers out of the banking industry. Of course, here's something most people are totally unaware of. Guys, did you know that there were 5 assassination attempts against Andrew Jackson while he was president?
Ooh.
That wouldn't surprise me if he was against the bank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why there had to be a civil war, except for the bankers were kind of occupied at that time with the revolutions going on over in the German republics at that time. They were kind of occupied. They couldn't really focus as much effort until they got them all to, you know, put down the socialist rising there, spread over to here, and then we can have a war. So, you know, and what is the bankers? What always seems to happen when they seem to lose control? They seem to want to start wars everywhere.
Why?
Because wars are profitable and people are willing to not think clearly, so to speak. They will surrender their rights if they think they're at war.
Yep, exactly. And so, you know, here's the thing. This is what I love about what we're doing right here, is we're taking these things and tying them together to make a clear picture, so that instead of looking at what happened in Germany in World War I and World War II, to combine that with the founding of America along the same lines, to go to what broke the country apart, World War II. And the thing about it is no matter how you do this, no matter how you get into it, at the bottom of the bucket, you're going to find a bunch of Jews.
Yep.
And that is the hard thing, I think, for people to actually grab onto, because also we have had this thing shoved down our throats, because I was thinking back to my days when I was young, going to the missionary Baptist church that I went to, and how, you know, Israel was held in much higher regard than America in most of the pronouncements. But it's been a huge mind control operation. And folks, if you look at who owns the media today in America, and usually the other countries as well, you'll see why they control the flow of information. And once they control the flow of information, you will never get the truth. It just doesn't happen. Your thoughts, DW?
Yeah, it's been fully understood for hundreds and hundreds of years that you have to control the news, the official narrative, the Orthodox understanding before ABC, NBC, and CBS showed up. The we. I like that, the we.
The we.
The we owned, that they owned the media in regards to the newspaper business. Pulitzer, William Randolph Hearst. Before that, you had Horace Greeley. These are all we's. Okay. And so every time you have technology that comes along that moves the information process forward, computers, they're writing the software for that, aren't they? They're building the machines that supply that, aren't they? You then have scalable social media and these apps and stuff like that. Well, these are technology companies. Well, who's in charge of that? Well, they're the Wii's. The Wii's have back doors into all the messaging systems that are tied into the international intelligence system for monitoring and blackmailing and stealing purposes at the highest level. You will never get ahead of these people were spying on the letters in the revolutionary days between the anti-federalists.
Oh yes.
Okay.
Very much so.
So what? Yeah, so I'm just connecting another pattern here, another facet of this little shiny diamond.
You gotta get the friction on, so lady. I don't know what that was.
Whoever
that
was.
That was funny. Yeah, I don't know what it was.
That was good. That was good. That was good. I don't know.
Perfect timing.
Hit me again. Right. So, yeah, there's a pattern here. Once again, we find a pattern in the propaganda and the ability to deliver it. And so, who owns Reuters and the Associated Press? Okay, but this was a Rothschild. These were Rothschild corporations. All right. At the bottom of the day, of course, you know this is not going to Matt. This isn't going to surprise probably other guys that are here. But at the bottom of the day, not only do you find Jews, but you find British intelligence and British Jews.
Yes. Very much so. So, well, let's see. Mary, let me read this from our producer. Mary Ann in Germany, she has a heavy German accent and sounds older, thought this might be interesting. Would you guys like to bring in Mary Ann?
100%.
Yep. All right. Sure. Let's do it. Are we ready, producer, with Mary Ann? All right. Mary Ann, are you with us?
Yes. I came over to the United States because my dad was killed in the war, a 32-year-old young man. And I have been looking into that forever. During the war, we had maybe one pair of shoes, mostly wooden ones, and we were hungry. We went out in the fields to get some potatoes after the farmers had picked them up, but afterwards, he took what we had saved, he took it away. We went into the woods for blueberries and wood. That was absolutely horrible. I mean, in Germany itself, everybody was hungry. The Americans came in and they sent some stuff. Mostly, that's how you got used to the gum and the sweet stuff what they, you know, were giving. But anyway, I am telling you now, over there in Germany, I can watch BRD, and it's a German television, and the people are just as dumb as we are over here, totally brainwashed, and they believe it. It's unbelievable. It's like you were saying, oh, I wanted to give you most of the information where you can get is from Barnes Review. I have many books and other things I would like to mail it to somebody, what I have collected. You're right, I'm going to be 85. But I am having a problem with my teeth, and never mind. But
Marianne, you're fine. You're absolutely fine. I so appreciate you taking the time to come on the program. And there is one thing that has always bothered me about what the Soviets did in Germany, and it was the mistreatment of women, especially the gang rapes and everything else that that the Russian soldiers did to the German women. Many of the German women who became pregnant took their own lives because of that. Do you have any information at all on that, Marianne?
No, not really. I'm glad it didn't reach me because I have enough problems with people not understanding what's getting on in the United States here, and especially the young people. They are kept under control steadily. There's something else which bothers me a lot. It's the chemtrails, what they are using to make the weather dry over there. And I think it has to do with farming. Anyway, I'm going to let you go. I am glad. Have you ever heard of Barnes Review?
Yes, ma'am.
Barnes Review has a lot of things in there. Anyway,
well,
I'm going to
Thank you so much. Thank you for listening, and thank you for calling in. You made today very special. Thank you.
Thank you, Oma.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Guys, she brought up something. I was wondering if any of you have seen that Tennessee legislature and the governor signed it into law that they can no longer seed the clouds in the state of Tennessee. Now, how long do you think it's going to be before the Department of Justice comes down and they have a federal judge say, nope, supremacy clause says you can't do that?
Here you go. I heard about it about a week and a half ago, and the first thing that went through my mind is they're going to pull the same thing they did with the folks of Missouri with their Second Amendment Protection Act.
Yeah, big time. Well, we've got a break coming up here very shortly. Here it comes. We'll be back on the flip side, guys, for the last 30 minutes of this part.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem.
pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new Ease-Off Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The Ease-Off lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease-Off?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease-Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Used to be Andy and Barney Fife. Now a tired Stern and a brothel life. Too much crap drive the world insane. Everybody singing the jailhouse blues. Don't believe a word of the evening news. Truth stood for years down the drain.
Oh yes, Taylor has stood for years down the drain. Thank you, Hag. Man, I tell you what, I sure missed that man. You know, he sang the truth as he knew it, and in so many ways. And I love the song that he did about America, Where Have You Gone? And someday I'll have that in my bumper music. But, guys, we've got a gentleman in Florida. His name is Kenneth, and he would like to ask us a question. So, Kenneth, welcome to Republic Broadcasting. What is your question, sir?
No, that's not my name, but it's close enough.
Okay.
Thanks
that's
for letting
what they
me
got
in, Mike.
Printed here. Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. I got two things.
Okay.
And I just lost the first one, so I'll do the second one. Governor Lee in Tennessee might be sounding like a good guy with the chemtrails.
Yeah.
But during COVID, he argued in court by way of attorney, that he was not, that a man, a citizen, could not hold him to follow the Tennessee state law.
Oh, yes. You mean kind of like what Governor Abbott has recently done in Texas?
Yeah, he's not obligated to perform according to law, or either that or a citizen of the state cannot force him or compel him to abide by the law by way of mandamus.
Yeah, well, these guys have to You know, all these politicians, they have to throw the people a bone every once in a while, because, and this is part of a PSYOP. I was taught this almost 50 years ago. And that is that if you don't throw the people, if you don't let them think, because that increases their hope and puts them back on the addictive hopium. And, hey, yeah, look, he did something good. He might do something better next time. So it's the all part of the mind control. But that is a great that you made. I'm not going to give him any kudos whatsoever. But the fact is, he did sign it, and but he knows, as well as everyone else knows, is that just like Sarge said in the just a little while ago, that in a very short period of time, the Department of Justice will challenge that. They will name their own judge, and that judge will say, oh, well, you know, gosh, guys, I'm sorry, but the Supremacy Clause overruled you, so tough luck. You can't do that.
Well, here's how I link the governor of Tennessee and the chemtrails. He forced people and shut the state down for by way of wearing a mask and 6-foot distancing for COVID that he has never proven to exist. Yet he's making a claim for chemtrails. Would he recommend that the people in Tennessee force them to wear a mask for the chemtrails?
Well, now, is he up for re-election this year?
I do not know that.
That may be the point. He may be pushing for re-election.
He also did a thing with gun laws.
Yes, he did that as well. So, no, I'm not. I didn't mean that I trust him in any way, but it was just the point that it was brought out. But and again, they have to throw the people a few crumbs every once in a while, because if they didn't, the people would say, hey, this thing, we never get anything out of this. And they would say, okay, the system's bad, let's replace it. And that's exactly what they can't allow us to happen. Cal DW, Matt, you got any questions for this gentleman from Florida?
Well, I can answer my first question. I forgot and I remembered it. To the caller, the lady before me, her information, she said she has some books. She said she has some books. Call her back and see what she got.
Well, I'm going to let Jim do that for us since he knows the lady, and I think that would be a better connection. So when Sarge gets the chance, I'm going to ask him if he will see what kind of books that she's got and see where we can proceed from there. But
kind of evidence she could add to the claim. Thank you, Mike.
Right. Thank you, sir. You have a good day. Matt, what are your thoughts to this point after our two callers?
What about the chemtrails and what they did in Tennessee?
The chemtrails and actually what the woman had to say out of Germany. I think you commented on what she said. So, but, you know, kind of just where are you in our discussion right now?
Yeah, no, I think it's great that she brought up some of the suffering that were experiences that the Germans had after the war. I don't think people, you know, what actually happened to the Germans after the war, because all we hear about is what happened to the Weeds. Yep.
Well, I promise you, you're not going to get any history teachers to talk about the Rhine Metal.
No.
Go ahead, DW.
Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to make note here that she was talking about the Barnes Review. I buy books there. The really hard to find books sometimes are there. I highly recommend it. She also is talking about the German people and the society and culture, what's ever left of it there. And the degenerate and degraded state of manhood and the consciousness of the people and how well they've been brainwashed and degraded. Defeated, intellectually defeated. They've been intellectually disarmed and emotionally empowered to attack themselves. Their emotional and intellectual immune systems have been turned upon themselves. And I just thought it was very noteworthy that it takes. What's remarkable is I want to remark that I commend her for her call. Having said that, I just want to say that where are the men of German background or from Germany or anybody else that would call here and have the bravery and the courage to call and represent their people? Does it just have to be an elderly German woman is the only one that has the courage to do that? Really? Well, America, that's your future. Look at the German men.
Hell of a question.
There's your future, boys. Yeah.
Great job. Cal, your thoughts, buddy?
Well, for a minute, I was wondering if DW was talking about German people or American people. So we've got Bubus Americanus, and now we have Bubus Germanus, apparently.
Yep.
And Bubus Britannia. Bubus Spaniardia. This affliction isn't just here in the United States of America. This affliction is being spread worldwide. This is about world empire and who wants to be in charge of the world empire. In case people have lost who the we is. That's what the we is up to.
The weeans?
The we's.
Hey. Well, we got Sarge back. Sarge, if you get a chance to talk to that wonderful lady from Germany, would you check into the book she was talking about? Did she say she wanted to do something with those books?
Wants to send them to somebody. And I think if it sounds like it's in the World War II era, so it'd probably be the best place to send them would be to Matt.
Well, we can do that if you send them to me first and let me read them.
Yeah, no problem.
I'll send them to Matt.
I'll talk to her soon, probably, and I'll see what I can do.
Okay, buddy. We certainly appreciate that. And well, I probably need to tell folks, you know, in the next hour, I've got my old buddy from the political cesspool, James Edwards. He's coming on, and we're going to really jump into Confederate History Month. And I was on the political cesspool the first weekend of Confederate History Month, and I was on with James. And when I was with the Minuteman Project in 2005, I would go to a payphone every afternoon and call in, because at that time the political cesspool was being aired 5 days a week, and while I was down there. So you gentlemen are more than welcome to hang on, and you might have some questions for James third hour. That's up to you. But we're really going to try to focus on some of the things that we know, including a book that I found, and that was said that we call him Rabbi Abraham Lincoln. So in some ways we're going to be on the same subject, but in a different time era. So anyway, folks, those of you who are listening, and we have another caller, folks. We've got James in Vancouver. So I believe I've talked to James in Vancouver once today, but twice makes it even better. James, how are you?
Well, I just can't get enough of your show. And by the way, gentlemen, you are talking to a German, okay?
Okay.
You want to ask questions, go ahead. My best friend up here was in the Hitler Youth. He's going to be 96 this summer. Hey, why don't you guys interview him? He can tell you all about firing 88 millimeters at,
Oh, James, if you'll set that up, I'd love to have him come on and have Matt join us.
Yeah, well, he has a lot to say, and his father was killed. He was a highly decorated officer, was killed on the Russian front. I've seen his father's picture. Let me just ask a question here. You gentlemen, why is it that China, for 2,000 years, has been able to resist Christianity? And it's been 2,000 years, and we're still waiting for the Savior. And if you want to know about the German mind, you look at some of the philosophers like Nietzsche and Hegel and others who wrote about the fact that they didn't really think that the Jewish mindset that's in the Bible was really appropriate for the German mind compared with ancient Greek mythology. Back to you.
Jim, you want to take that one to start with?
Boy, I honestly don't know. I'm not familiar. I'm familiar with the names Hegel and the other guy. Was it Nietzsche?
Nietzsche.
But I haven't read any of their works.
Right.
And
So
I really can't speak to it.
Well, let me recommend a book to you. Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
That's all right. Let's let DW jump on that one. He's chomping at the bit.
All righty.
Well, I'm regrettably I'm too familiar with both of them. And you know, Hegel's philosophy was he was actually a theologian, but his theology resulted in that the state is God, and I know that's not doing his work proper service. On the other hand, Nietzsche goes to the point where he says, well, no, you have to become the God.
Oh, well, you read the... Go ahead.
And so this leaves... this leads to
So it's easy to fight Germans now. Both Nietzsche, because they believe that the state is God, right? See what I mean?
Yeah. So in both these cases of the, and every social group has their wacky philosophers, and in both these cases with Hegel and Nietzsche, they've resulted in not good things for the common man and family and. The common man and woman and the family, both of them have resulted that. Now the English and the French, and to that matter the Americans as well, their philosophers almost all of them result in chaotic social conditions, and so. But on the other hand, if you become a Christian Zionist. And actually follow your Christianity through the teachings of rabbis, you endorse committing atrocities. You know,
you do their fight. I'm not doing them, is that what you did?
Yeah.
Well, how many people in the United States of America have been lost fighting World War One and World War Two and other wars, and was it really worth it? See what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. No, it's never worth it.
Well, anyway, I'll try to hook you up, Mike, with my friend, and
please do.
You all have please a good do. Day. I'll get back to you later on these arguments because I got more to make, but I'll do that another time. Thanks, Tyler.
All right. Bye appreciate now. Your call. Thank you so much.
Right.
And guys, we've kind of left Matt here in the back of the church. So, Matt, any thoughts? We've got maybe 8-9 minutes left. I would like for you to tell the people about yourself, about what you do, about your work, and where that they could learn more from you.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, like I said, World War II is my passion. That's what I've been really diving into the last few years. And I've been putting stuff on videos on YouTube. You can check out a page called A Different Version of History. And that's where I've been putting down my thoughts and a lot of German interviews and information.
Well, great, buddy. And we hope to have you on again soon as we broach into some of these other subjects, because we have these parallels that you know, the patterns that most people don't see because they don't know history. But if I may, let me ask you this. What prompted you to do the deep dive into this history that you've done?
In general? Just yes. Everything?
Mm-hmm.
I just know in the world, and when I started looking into everything, I just kept on coming across two things that really made me question everything. With one, it was always an attack on Christianity. Everything I read, Christians were bad. It didn't make any sense to me because we're a Christian country and Europe's always been Christian. And then when I looked into who was pushing that, it always came back to Jews, and it never made any sense to me. So I started just diving down into each war and banking and money and politics, and I kept on coming to the same conclusions. And yeah, one thing led me to another, if any of that makes any sense.
Well, it probably didn't gain you a whole lot of friends, did it?
No, not at all.
But the ones you got, the ones you have gotten for pursuing the truth, those are the ones that will count. Now, to kind of close out here, when the last maybe 5-6 minutes we got, I'm going to start off with Cal. Cal, do you have any questions or comments for Matt?
No, I want to thank Matt for all of his efforts. I mean, the fact that he's focused on World War II is, one, commendable, because there's only so much time anybody can spend in energy in researching something. And to have someone focus, specifically on that era and bring forth those four source documents and the interviews and the opinions and everything formed on that and making it available, allows someone like me to focus on, or my passion's more on the Revolutionary era, to where Mike's Revolutionary era and Civil War, or the Second War of the Rebellion. I'm going to start calling it the First War of the Rebellion, the Second War of the Rebellion. That's okay, Mike. Because that's what it is.
I'll call it whatever
I just
want to.
Yeah, I just want to thank Matt for those efforts, and I look forward to learning more and more from him. I hope you bring him back on the show quite often. So that, part of the round table and part of bringing the patterns he's seen and bringing them into focus for the rest of us.
Oh, well, thanks, Cal.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
And Sarge, any thoughts or questions for Matt?
I don't really have any more, but I do want to thank him also for his efforts. And I just subscribed to his YouTube channel. And I'm looking forward to looking at some of the videos. He's got a bunch of them in there, 260-some. Just one of the things that gets me is, we talk about the people in this country that go to battle. And just the same, thinking of World War II and the guys, the caller from Canada who mentioned his friend was in the Hitler Youth and his dad was killed on the Eastern Front. The interesting thing is, in every single one of these cases, is the guys on the ground, the boots on the ground, had it not been for the, I don't know what you want to call it, but the craziness of the people running the shows, if it wasn't for the propaganda that they've been exposed to and swallowed, chances are every single one of them would be able to meet up with the guys that they're actually fighting on the other side and sit down, have a cup of coffee or a beer or whatever, and be friends, or at least enjoy each other's company for a while, talking, swapping stories and whatnot, had it not been for the drive of the idiots running the shows trying to take over everything. And it just goes to show you that the biggest enemy in this world is government. No matter how you look at it, it's the people that are the high-level functioning narcissists, for lack of a better term, that are running the shows, trying to exert their desire and their will upon everybody else. And if it wasn't for those kind of people, the rest of us that just want to be left alone would probably get along really, really well.
And right. That's, exactly, Sarge. You just made me think of a joke I heard years ago about the two guys on the Eastern Front that got killed. The German yelled over at the Russian and he said, "Hey, Stalin is an SOB." And then the Russian yells back and he says, "Well, Hitler is a SOB." And they both got killed. They were out shaking hands and a tank ran over them. So DW, thoughts and questions for Matt, please, sir.
I just want to echo what the other our other buddies here said. I appreciate the work. You know, we don't, like Cal said, we don't all have time to be experts on everything. You know, and I, you know, the work that you bring, and I think the conversation today has pointed that out, is that it allows us to connect the dots on the agenda. What people forget, and they have to be reminded constantly, is that there is an ongoing agenda. Most people see the world as events. You have to get over that. This is a process for an agenda, and the hour is late. So I just want to thank you, Matt, and please come back and join whenever you can, and appreciate your work. And you have two new subscribers, a different history, a different version of history on YouTube. Go join, people.
Thank you very much.
Well, he's got three. Three new ones. Well, folks, anyway, we've got just a very short time here left before we go to hour number three. But I just want to thank all you folks for tuning in. I want to thank the wonderful lady for her phone call. Please, Jim, make sure she knows how much she was appreciated doing that phone call. It was just absolutely great. And, of course, our buddy James up there in Vancouver, he is spot on with so many of his things. And man, if we could get that gentleman who was a member of the German Youth, if we can get him on, that I think would just be absolutely fantastic. And if we do that, Matt, I would like for you to come on with me.
Absolutely.
And folks, you know, support RBN, find a way to keep it going, because freedom of speech is, because I tell you what, the time is coming to where there will be no platforms in this country that will allow this kind of discussion. It's coming. They never do it in a big rush. They do it in a gradual squeeze. And it's coming. Well, anyway, top of the hour. The Last Rebel. See you on the flip side, folks.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle, or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.